Radio Pulpit, 657 AM, your daily companion.
And that's the Nudge with For Me, starting off the afternoon. Aren't I the best? Not because I'm the best, but because, man, I give you good music. I mean, whomst I? Absolutely, absolutely loving that song. And I think I must not take credit that does not belong to me. I think I'll give credit to our compilers, our programmer. It definitely is not me that put that song in. I do put some, but definitely not me on that one. Very good afternoon to you if you've just locked in. Still sitting with myself, Lukho Mokoedi-Phuthi. It is, of course, a Monday. And let me start here before I have a chat with Dr. Amanda this afternoon. Congratulations to you, dear Lukho and Pastor Ray. Oh, man, to God be the glory from one twin to another. A great job. What? I mean, you're also a twin. Hey, twin spirit, thank you so, so much. I think, you know, oftentimes we speak of the imposter syndrome. We talk about it here and I try to speak you out of it. But I think I'm a very competitive person, Sabient. Generally, I will not let anything be above me. I really believe, look, I can conquer anything. But with these awards, honestly, I was very nonchalant. I was like, nah, no. I had already decided in my mind who the winner was. I really had decided. Zeneca will tell you. But it really came as a surprise. But indeed, to God be all the glory. I believe with all my heart. It's not about me. It is really about what we make it, you know, as a team. When I say team, I mean literally you. I mean the management at Radio Pulpit. And I mean literally every single person that contributes to this show, you know, to make it amazing. So thank you. Thank you so much. It was my very first award entering and I don't think I'll do it again. it was just too much nerve-wracking, I think. And let's welcome Dr. Amanda. Dr. Amanda, it's been a while. Hello.
It's been a minute. It's been a minute. And massive congratulations.
Oh, thank you, Dr. Amanda. Can I tell you a bit of a secret? I don't know if you're aware of it. But I think I think when we submitted our submission for the afternoon drive, I think it was for best afternoon drive and best afternoon drive presenter. Well, we got afternoon drive presenter, but we actually put in our conversations in there as an entry. So just so you know, I think we would have had to wave if they took the afternoon drive as a show and we'd be like, Dr. Amanda, just so you know. Just as an after effect, by the way. Just so you know. Thank you and welcome, man. We've missed you.
Oh, same here. We must find a way of increasing the frequency.
Yes, please. Maybe twice. Maybe just twice a month. Okay, not once. You are this once a month thing.
It's a bit much, eh?
It's not working, okay, my friend.
I'll talk to the team.
Please.
And I mean, why not hang around with the award-winning team?
La la la, Radio Pulpit. Actually, we took two awards home, just so you know. Yes.
Multi-award-winning
team.
No.
Yeah, exactly. The other one was Late Night Show, the one that Pastor Ray does. So listen, we took it home. Radio Pulpit is doing the things. We're not just 44 for nothing, you know. We're not just counting years, but the Lord is literally just adding. So welcome back, Dr. Amanda.
Thank you.
I must say, when I saw the subject basically today, before we even have a chat about that, I thought, we talk about being teachable all the time, but how many times do we talk about being coachable? I was like, ooh, this one, it almost sounds like a slap on the wrist. We are fundiseka yini. I can try to teach you, but are you coachable? That's another question altogether. And I think that's what I want you to keep at the back of your mind today if you've just tuned in, because we're going to talk about being coachable today, becoming coachable. Now, if you aren't aware who I'm talking to today, perhaps you're hearing the name Dr. Amanda for the very first time. Just by the way, before I introduce him, if he had it, please, where he'd have me call him Manda, but he's not going to get that from me. So, Dr. Manda Chifulari is the founding director of Superlead Advisory. He specializes in strategy, operations, and leadership development. And he's a strategist, leadership, coach, and an author of Lead with Super Clarity. Welcome, Dr. Manda. And I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to call you Manda. For as long as I'm on this platform, you're not going to get it, my friend. Give up on it.
I will yield.
I'd much rather. And that's the thing. There's I don't know if you know, on Thursdays I've got Dr. Julius Mangot. He prides himself more on being Pastor Mangot, the man of ministry, than Dr. J. But I decided to call him Dr. J. And even when he writes like a profile or something, when he does a poster, he'll always write Pastor Julius, but he'll never get it from me. I just feel like you guys work too hard for these titles.
So I've been called Manda for so many years without giving away my name, and then all of a sudden it's going to be changed. Just because I went.
Shuti askis, my friend. Shuti askis. Now, today you want to talk about the single greatest predictor of success in both life and leadership, and that's being coachable. Tell us more, about this. It's such a big claim to make.
Yeah, absolutely. And I must just start by saying that this is not my claim, but I think I can understand it. And this comes from an incredible book called Becoming Coachable, Unleashing the Power of Executive Coaching by Scott Osman, Jacqueline Lane, and Marshall Goldsmith. I think most people in the leadership field will probably be more familiar with Marshall Goldsmith. He wrote the book What Got You Here Won't Get You There, and a whole range of other books. But the idea is this, and that is, many of us are talented in many different ways, and talented, gifted, anointed, and all that we can say to it. And the difference between the people that truly, truly rise and make the biggest impact in line with how they're gifted is just this ability to be coachable. This ability to lead oneself with just enough humility, openness to change, and just the willingness to receive feedback, course correct, and be held accountable, and continue to learn day after day after day. And this is what the authors call being coachable. And just a side note, and they found that, because we're going to talk about the being coachable framework in a moment, but they found that the elements that makes you a coachable person are the same elements that makes you a great leader. So if you really want to lead well, you want to be someone that is coachable. And that's what we want to talk about today.
Interesting. By the way, Dr. Manda did mention a couple of books there and reading. And as you can see behind him, if you're watching on Facebook, you're probably seeing a lot of books behind him. We want to prove it's really his, it's not just a background, eh? It's his library.
No.
Get a book out of there, Dr. Manda. Get a book out of there. I'm kidding.
Stairways by Jason Day, which is another great book on systems thinking.
He really did it. I was joking. But listen, the proof is in the pudding. You know, he just proved he really, really does read. I don't know how you do it, but hey, I need to learn from you. Now, the book claims that the single greatest predictor of leadership success isn't talent or experience, but coachability, as you mentioned earlier on. That might surprise some of our listeners. Can you explain what the authors mean by coachability and why it's so central to effective leadership today?
No, exactly. This is at the heart of the book. If anyone never gets to read the book, the authors really argue that while skill and experience matter, they won't carry us as far as we can go unless we are coachable. And this idea of coachability is about cultivating openness, being willing to change. So that's the first element, your willingness to change. That's what.
And we know how tough that one is.
And I'm going to circle back to it now. I'm going to give you an example. And number two, your willingness to take in feedback. Number three, your willingness to act on it. And number four, your willingness to be held accountable. If you can have these four elements, just, you know, as you walk day in and day out and say, you know what, I'm willing to change. I am willing to hear feedback and act on it. I'm willing to like take a new direction in the new direction, and I'm willing to be held accountable. If you can have that, I that's the magic formula, really. So leaders often fail not because they lack brilliance or but because they just stop learning and they just resist being challenged. The most valuable leaders and the most impactful leaders are those who can adapt quickly and humbly.
Yeah.
And coachability becomes sort of a multiplier of their talent and kind of multiplier of everything that they do. If you think about it, right? So there is, on today's world, there is a ton of content.
Yeah.
You know, some of the leaders who are listening to us, you know, you go to church on Sunday or whenever you do, and then there's a midweek service, and then there's potentially a home cell, and then there's a podcast, there are sermons, there are TED Talks, there are podcasts, there are books, there is Luco's afternoon show, there is content, the TikTok, the world over. And that's important to take in, but key to all of this, we can be hit by all this content day in and day out. The question is, are you coachable? When you hear the sermon today, are you willing to change? Are you willing to sort of take that feedback that says, hey, this is not great, you could make it better? And are you willing to act on what you just heard? Because I think sometimes we just love the sermon. You know, when you just love the revelation and the content, insights, and you're just like, oh, this is so good. The woman of God or the man of God, you know, just unpacked such a powerful sermon or whatever book we read. And then what do we do usually? We share it with others. We kind of go, Luco, listen, this is good. But the first thing is to say, are you willing to be changed, willing to be challenged? I can tell you. So I see my coach almost every week.
You also have a coach. I thought you've gotten to a point where you are the coach now, and you no longer need a coach yourself.
I also have to be coachable. And it's such a precious moment for me. Because to a large extent, you know, I am coaching others, et cetera, and then I just sort of sit in and I just enjoy the moment of being coached. It's like a highlight of my week, if it were. Now, I remember in the last couple of weeks there was something specific that I was just like, I hear you, but I'm not sure I want to change.
So you were battling with change.
No, I'm just like, I can see that. And then you know I arrive at that because every now and again I will try to find an excuse why that needs to stay the same. You know, it's because of you, and it's because of that. But at the end, I mean, we just kind of all realize you just don't want to change this.
Yeah, it's almost like I can see where you're going, but I'm okay with it, I think.
it's like someone who knows, you know, they must change their diet. And then you're like, let's talk about everything else.
That's the diet.
You know, I have to eat pap. You know, that's how. So it wasn't that, but there was an area, there was a significant area in my leadership that you know, the conversation kind of lit a spotlight on that, and I just kind of went there. In the end, I just realized I'm just not willing to change, and what that meant is that I was not coachable. And the authors of these books, they are coaches. They do executive coaching the world over, and they found coaching is such a powerful tool that leaders lean on to really make a difference, to elevate performance in their organizations, and to change and be transformed. But they found that some coaching interventions, you know, made the difference and some didn't. And the difference is this: same kind of approach, same coach, same material, same approach. Just some people are not coachable. And imagine, you know, you probably follow sport, but imagine some of the soccer players that we follow and some of the great athletes. Imagine all of them just kind of ran and never had a coach. Imagine how far they would have. And same with as leaders.
Interesting. You should actually say I probably follow sport. Interesting fact, I did sport presenting for 8 full years. That's how I started on radio. Sport presenting. Imagine. Out of my comfort zone, but definitely worked.
But imagine all those sport players. They just had raw talent and never had a coach. Or if they were not coachable. If the coach says, hey, I would love for you to play this way. And then just like, nah.
I prefer this way.
This way, you know what? I'm actually successful. I'm more famous than you.
You're just the man behind the scenes.
Yes. And I think we do that without being explicitly loud like that.
That's true.
You know, some must give us a small piece of advice and then we just shrug it off. Or someone kind of say, you know, here's a bit of feedback, and then we are defensive immediately. And in not so many words, we're saying, hey, look at me, what can you say to me?
Homestay. A quick one, and you're gonna correct me here, Dr. Manda, because I believe this is Venda, Isivenda, or is it Chivenda? Yes, Chivenda.
Yes.
And Mudzanani Rochidzwa Sylvester says, great talk. So Mudzanani, thank you so much for tuning in. Really appreciate that. We're dealing with a
He's from my hometown.
Really?
He's from my home village.
You actually know him?
Yes.
Isn't it nice to be celebrated by your own and have your own consistently just support
but
you?
Imagine, I may have like called him and say, hey, bud, you know, just go in there and say great talk.
You may have.
I may have hired my own cloud.
Guys is kind of telling us that's what he did. But you didn't ask him to text in. So that...
Yes, that is out of his will.
I'm happy about that. You've just locked in. We're talking about being coachable today. Dr. Manda is addressing the phenomenon of becoming coachable this afternoon. So we often chase after more content, like you were saying, Dr. Manda. You know, more sermons, more podcasts, more books, almost as if the next one will be the breakthrough. But what you're saying is the real difference isn't in the content itself. It's in whether we're actually open to being shaped by it. And that posture of openness can feel a lot like vulnerability, which is something many leaders struggle with because we're taught to always project certainty and strength. But perhaps real strength is found in that openness. The book talks about the openness framework, change, feedback, action, and accountability. Could you then unpack that for us and maybe give us an example of how it might look in practice?
No, absolutely. This is, and as you know, we like to repeat here as many times as possible. But you know, the authors, you know, just in what a gift of a framework that they give us, the openness framework, really practical roadmap for you, for one to become coachable. It begins with the openness to change. If one is not ready and is still resisting the idea that they must change, you know, all these sermons and the talks and everything, you know, they just fall by the wayside. So openness to change, and the key to that is acknowledging that what worked yesterday might not necessarily work tomorrow. Because some of the things that make us close off to change is that, you know what, this has worked, this is what I do, why change now? And we're going to talk about it in the next question. The next one is openness to feedback, welcoming input from colleagues, employees, family members especially, without being defensive. And especially family members, they see way more of us. And if we are open to getting their feedback, we are likely going to change. Then, but here, what's important also to note, Luko, is that the book also mentions that not all feedback is good feedback.
Oh,
Some feedback be raised out of bias, or some might also just be unhelpful. Some of them might even be self-serving. So being coachable does not necessarily mean that you accept everything that at face value, everything that gives that people say to you. It means listening in with humility, then yeah. exercising some discernment to hold on to what is true and helpful, and let it go of what is not. We know not everyone has like the best of intentions, and yet, you know, a lot more people have good intentions. So feedback, you know, let's receive that as a gift, and with a bit of discernment to kind of take what's helpful and what might help us grow and lead well. So then the third element is openness to action. Actually implementing the insights instead of just collecting them. You know, we've been talking, sharing a lot of insights here. You know, what will be helpful is, hey, of the insights that I receive or what I've received in this last week, what is the one or two things I altered at the back of everything else I've heard? I imagine if we just to take the church, for instance, today is, say, Monday, and most of the church meetings may happen on the weekend. The question for us is, of all the things you've heard, what is potentially the one thing you want to adjust today? Because if we don't have this habit of implementing something, you know, we're just collecting content and scriptures, and we remain as we are. And finally, openness to accountability, inviting others to hold you to your commitments and not shying away from being corrected. And similarly, also here, just one note to say, this requires also that you know, you are super clear on, you know, generally your sense of direction and purpose, because not all accountability is good accountability. Yeah. You might find people that hold you accountable for something really, really small, and then you spend way more of your time on something that's super tiny compared to the big thing that you must be held accountable to. So even on this one, just that exercise of discernment and not sort of just kind of run away, because some people have the ability to just kind of go, yeah, but you said, and it's just such a tiny piece.
It doesn't matter as much.
Yeah, and then you're held accountable in multiple different small ways. So just that tidbit of account of kind of discernment to say, I want to be held accountable on these four big things that matter most for my journey and for what I'm trying to achieve with the people that I lead.
Listen, Dr. Manda, just want to pay some bills ASAP. We'll be right back.
For 44 years, Radio Pulpit has been a voice of hope, faith and love in homes across South Africa. This August, as we celebrate our birthday, we want to share that same hope with those who need it most. There are precious children in our communities who lack even the most basic essentials. Our birthday wish? To bless them with love in the form of school stationery, toiletries and other essentials. We invite you to be part of this beautiful act of giving. Drop off your donations at our offices in Kilner Park, Pretoria. If you're not sure what to bring, visit radiopulpit.co.za for the full wish lists. These heartfelt gifts will be given to the children at homes such as Jacaranda, Louis Borta, and Marista. Let's make our 44th birthday a celebration they'll never forget, because every child deserves to feel loved. Radio Pulpit, 44 years of hope, sharing it forward.
Let Christ inspire your day. Radio Pulpit 657 AM, bringing the Word of God to you.
Looking for a daily dose of inspiration? Radio Pulpit has got you covered. Follow our new WhatsApp channel and get inspirational content delivered straight to your phone. From uplifting daily devotionals to motivational podcasts, we have it all. Plus, stay in the loop with our latest events, exciting campaigns, and all the news about your favorite programs and presenters. To follow our WhatsApp channel, go to WhatsApp or go to radiopulpit.co.za for instructions. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion, keeping you in tune and in touch.
So if you only thought teachable and that's enough, you're in for a great surprise this afternoon, because Dr. Amanda is saying, go beyond being teachable, be coachable. Allow yourself to be coachable. That's what we're talking about today. If you have missed it up until this point, don't worry. You can always go back to our Facebook Live, and you can also visit our website, where it will be podcasted in the next couple of days already. Babu Jack is very, very prompt with that one. Now, Dr. Amanda, welcome back.
Thank you, thank you.
Listen, you've helped us see what coachability looks like in practice, but let's be honest, staying open isn't always easy. So what are some of the biggest barriers that stop leaders from being coachable?
Absolutely. And I must sort of start by saying we are in this together.
Yeah.
I'm not sort of here for what I'm about to say, kind of pointing the finger to say, hey, you're doing that and it's not good for coachability. I am with you on this. One of the biggest one is pride. And you know, the sense that as a leader, you have it, you know it all.
Yeah.
You have it all together. And you are the one. And, you know, you have gotten here, you've built this business, you've led this ministry for these many years. And so subtly, a tad bit of pride might creep in. And that pride makes it very difficult to admit mistakes or receive any guidance from anyone. We're seeing this phenomenon called reverse mentoring, where sort of senior leaders, seasoned leaders who have enough humility are leaning into younger leaders, who are leaning into even the Gen Zs to say, hey, guide me, mentor me about your generation and about what's working in the digital space. So that pride sometimes might prevent us from benefiting from things like reverse mentoring. Another barrier is fear. Many leaders worry that if they sort of show vulnerability, you know, people might lose confidence in them. And the third one is comfort. And this is where I was stuck with my coach.
A lot of us get stuck on that one. I know one might argue, no, I'm not prideful, but comfort, oh, Zana. Oh, it will deal with you.
And this behavior had just gotten ingrained in me, and it just worked. So I'm not out the woods yet.
And if it works, don't fix it, they say. If it's not broken.
it was having unintended consequences. And I was getting comfortable in that. And where the business was, you know, I developed that habit from where the business was at and where we are now. That way of leading maybe might need to be changed. So I was too comfortable. What's powerful, though, about the book, Becoming Coachable, is that it reminds us that these barriers are not fixed, Luko. They can be overcome if we choose humility and openness. When leaders are to say, hey, I don't have all the answers, I am ready to learn, they not only unlock their own growth, but they also give the teams permission to also be honest, to be reflective, also to just be coachable themselves. And then before you know it, you've created an environment where every individual in the team or in the organization is coachable. And once coachable, just the magic of growth and impact. You know, last thought on this, whenever I tell some of my stories, there's always like, you know, I had this coach and he or she, you know, kind of nudged me in this way. Like I've noticed this like these moments in my life and journey where I can almost put a pinpoint there was a coach who challenged me in this fashion. There was a coach who challenged me to study. Then there was a coach who challenged me to do this and that and that. And for listeners today, you might be able to write a story like that for yourself, because coaches, mentors, parents, pastors and friends, you know, they are all constantly offering these coachable moments, and we might be missing them largely because we might not be coachable.
Two quick questions, though, Dr. Amanda, before we get to our next point of conversation. are we meant to have different coaches for different seasons, or like what's the story? Can we have multiple ones? What's the purpose basically? I think that's where my question is at.
So a coachable moment is a moment where someone facilitates a dialogue with you,
mm-hmm.
that helps you figure out what might be the best possible action to take for you.
All right.
So, you know, there's a difference between like a counselor, a mentor, a coach, and a teacher. And then the coach assumes a peer-to-peer conversation
mm-hmm.
where through asking and questioning and probing, you yourself, to a large extent, arrive at, you know what, I think I must start waking up a little bit earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I used to wake up at 30. That's a coaching moment.
Okay.
So I put that up front to say, you can be coached by 1,000 people in one day.
Oh.
In that, having these conversations that help unlock growth for you.
Mm.
And it might be, you know, hey, how's that going? And then as the conversation is happening, you're finding potentially new pathways and new ways to behave for the better. So you can have me as your executive coach and we have a 12-week program and I'm your, you know, designated coach. Or you can have multiple conversations with multiple people wherever you are. And then those are just coachable moments where you something clicks and you go, I think I need to start doing that differently.
Mm.
I think I need to call my partner and apologize. I think I need to do that. So it's not reserved for the one coach that you have. You can have many people. The key is this. Are you willing to change? Are you willing to receive feedback as a gift? Are you willing to take action to alter some of your activities? And lastly, are you willing to be held accountable?
Mm.
So what's powerful about this book is that it flips the script from less about how great the coach is, how amazing the teacher is, how wonderful the people who are speaking into my life are,
mm-hmm.
and how much revelation there is. And it flips that into how am I willing to be coached to take a different action at the back of the feedback, at the back of the new insight that has landed on my life.
I mean,
and many of us
are
fixated on the quality of what's coming in.
Mm. I'm going to give you very little time for this one because I want us to finish our conversation. But difference, a quick one, difference between a coach and a mentor. How do I know that this one is my coach, but this one is my mentor?
So a mentor is usually someone that has gone way ahead and has kind of been in, say, in broadcasting for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And they can sort of look back and kind of give you insights from their journey. And
okay.
It's more like the mentors tend to advise. They can sort of challenge you somewhat, but they tend to advise from a place of experience and knowledge.
Okay.
Now, a coach does not necessarily have to have the knowledge of what you do, the experience on broadcasting, but they can facilitate a conversation that says, okay, what were you trying to achieve? What got in the way? How might we address that differently? Which action are you taking next to go there? And what actions, how might I hold you accountable? In
mm-hmm.
fact, I just spoke about the GROW model of coaching right there, et cetera. So the idea with a coach is someone that's trained to help facilitate a conversation for the other person to grow and learn from it.
Okay.
And a coach, good executive coach, helps you yourself arrive at your own choice of action.
Mm.
You know, when I say to you, Luko, I think you must start waking up early in the morning. That's Manda's program for you.
Okay.
Right? But if you go, based on what our conversation, I think I'm going to start waking up
early
in the morning. Then get your coach and say, okay, how do we lock this in? What's the commitment like? How can I hold you accountable? How can we get back to this? What are you going to do when you feel this? You know, what are the things that will help you support you
mm-hmm.
to be able to wake up? So a mentor might advise you to wake up early, but a coach will facilitate a conversation for you to say, I'm going to wake up early.
Lalela, this is the nice part about asking somebody who knows their story, not who's based on notes, because just now I ask you, and the next thing it's a, how can you ask me that? We didn't plan that, Luko. Now, you know, it's really insightful, I must say, what you just spoke about, Dr. Manda, earlier on. You know, pride, fear, even comfort, and those really are things that can quietly creep in and close us off. It makes me wonder then, if those are the barriers, what kind of mindset does a leader need to embrace so that they can stay truly coachable?
Absolutely. And I think I've said this word way too many times, but at the heart of it, the mindset is one of humility. A coachable leader recognizes... Sorry?
No, I'm laughing at that when you say...
I've said this one too many times.
Yeah.
I have. And it's just such a beautiful value. It's a value of mine, and I think I find it everywhere. Whoever writes something and then I see the word humility, I'm just drawn to the book. And then, so there's a lot of bias on that. Let's underscore the balance of this person here that says, truly, mindset of humility, a great coachable leader recognizes that leadership isn't just about proving that they're the smartest person in the room. It's about the willingness to learn so they can serve better. And humility creates that space for leaders. And the second one really is this mindset and the idea of curiosity. Leaders who remain curious ask questions. They seek out different perspectives. They approach challenges with the attitude of a learner instead of being threatened by feedback. See it as a gift. And lastly is the attitude of stewardship. When leaders see their roles as entrusted responsibility, entrusted responsibility for people, resources, and the mission of the organization, they naturally stay open because they understand the work is bigger than themselves. Yeah. And I must tell you this a slight story. I don't know if you have time for it, but yeah. One of my esteemed leaders I once worked with, he used to remind us, in the insurance company I once led with, he used to remind us all the time as we make decisions, he would say, Manda, this is not our money. This is our policyholders' money. There are people that are going on holiday, foregoing that so they can prioritize to pay their policies. So when we make decisions as leaders, this is not our money. This is entrusted responsibility for policyholders' money, and every decision we make, you know, it's on behalf of those policyholders. And that just stayed with me, this idea of stewardship, of entrusted responsibility.
It's beautiful to know somebody can be placed in such a place of authority and they never forget the mandate of why they're placed in that position. And I think if somebody was listening right now, and perhaps let's say you gave the name of that person and the company, they'd probably think, whew, what a relief. I know that my investments are actually safe right now. Isn't that what we all need ultimately to know? But hey, once up, I'll tell you now, Dr. Manda, I don't know how many times I've sat with myself and thought, especially with things pertaining to investments and banks. I'm like, yo, imagine if I had a couple of millions. And then one day I'm watching TV and I hear that the bank or the investment company keeping my money is going under. That's heart attack and stroke waiting to happen right there.
Absolutely. And it's incumbent on the leaders of those organizations to go, this is Luko's money. She could have bought the most expensive sneakers, but she chose to invest.
Exactly.
So therefore, we got to be like incredibly careful how we steward those resources. Then it's not our money. You know, I could blow my money, but that money
doesn't belong to you. Yeah. Listen, Dr. Manda, the authors also frame different ways that leaders tend to show up, you know, how this might impact their coachability. Tell us more about these different postures.
So I must tell you, so I love it when authors of a book stop and pull back and go, to what end are we saying all of this thing? What's the point?
Mm.
You know, when they stop and reflect on that. It's just so beautiful. This is what these authors need, right? And then while to get to that answer, they found out and the second thing I love, because I'm a consultant, is that they drew a 2x2 matrix to explain this whole thing. I won't go to the matrix, but I'll just give you the four outcomes of the 2x2. They found that they are leaders who, you know, do their best to extract value from the system, from the organization, but largely to their benefit. And they call them strivers. So these are leaders who are ambitious, driven, but often focus mainly on themselves. Mm. They might climb quickly, but collaboration and trust over time starts to suffer. Largely because they're kind of going, okay, give me all these leadership tools for me to succeed and grow and be all of that stuff. That's one type of leaders. We call them strivers.
Okay.
And not ideal. The second type are people pleasing ones who learn all these things but they care so much more about how people think and feel about them. They care that much, which is admirable, but sometimes they give so much of themselves away that they ultimately weaken both themselves and the organization. Those are people pleasers on the extreme quadrant. Then the third one is rising. These are leaders who achieve the results and do expand value, but mostly still to serve their own advancement. The ultimate one at the top end of the quadrant, these are leaders who are going after flourishing. These are leaders that take all of these insights to grow themselves while lifting others, building trust and creating a much bigger value for the organizations. These leaders are interested in everyone thriving.
Mm.
Goal of all of this is that, you know, you want to create thriving ecosystems, environment. It doesn't help. You wouldn't say in a flower bed, there's like one flower that's blooming and you go, that's a beautiful picture when everything else is dead.
Yep.
But all this requires us to embrace a flourishing mindset, which says we want to create value so that everyone benefits. And if we do leadership from a place of flourishing for everyone, this whole thing now makes sense. But if we're doing it as a striver for my own personal benefit, or largely to as a people pleaser until we run ourselves over, you know, all of this doesn't work. But all of this coachability really is to serve the purpose of creating a flourishing environment for everyone, then it's all worth it.
It's all worth it.
And that's the whole entire
definitely
book.
Definitely. You know, Dr. Munda, you've reminded us that growth isn't just about consuming more content, but about whether we're truly open to being changed by it. For someone listening right now, what's one practical way that they can reflect on their own coachability and begin to take a step forward?
Very quickly, the invitation I would like to offer is this. Pause, reflect on how open you are. Mm. Ask yourself, when was the last time I actually changed something about what I do based on feedback? Am I truly listening to people around me, or am I always defending? Am I consuming more and more content, sermons, books, podcasts, feedback, all of that, without actually being coachable enough to be shaped by it?
Yeah.
You don't need a grand overhaul, or you can start small, start intentionally, and just sort of, for this week, what's the one thing I could do differently or serve differently, maybe based on the conversation I had or on the sermon I listened to or in the feedback I received. Just this one week, just that inventory of small steps and actions. And for some, maybe it might be a big radical change that is required, but I want to encourage you, let us be coachable and take that action that will lead us to making a much better impact in our society.
Listen, Dr. Munda, if I want more of this, if I want to learn more, and I probably feel like, yeah, a bit of some coaching here and there, and, you know, maybe I even want my organization to listen in on this. I really, really need to learn more. How do we do it? How do we reach out to you?
Very, very simple. So let me say this just because it's today, to say that if you are ready and ready to be coachable, we are here. But honestly, I might want to say this. There are leaders that get given the incredible privilege of being assigned a coach and the organization pays for it, and yet they are not coachable.
Yeah.
And if you are that leader, I will just humbly ask you to hand back that privilege and potentially let someone that is ready and coachable to take that on. But anyway, so if you're ready and are willing to be coached and are coachable, you can reach us on our WhatsApp line, which is 078-020-0051. There's a team that that looks after that WhatsApp line. Or you can write directly to me, mandat@superlead.co.za. And as I often say, it's MAANDAT. It's Manda with two A's in between. And we'll be super keen to walk the journey with you, either as a coach or as a conversation with the rest of your organization. But today, I'm convinced that leaders listening to us are ready and willing to be coachable, I believe the rest of the year is going to be phenomenal. We'll see phenomenal change all around.
Listen, we're literally a couple of seconds to our news at the top of the hour, but I must say, like he said, Manda is MAANDA. This is what happens when parents and when cultures try to be creative, Manda. They end up with two A's. Dr. Manda, have a fabulous month ahead. We'll talk. Please do make arrangements to come back twice a month. Thank you so much. God bless.
Cheers, Luca. It's been awesome.
Share our passion for life on 657 AM.
Do you need prayer? Radio Pulpit, in collaboration with Need Prayer, is ready to stand in prayer with you. Contact us today with your prayer request at 012-334-1222 or WhatsApp us on 067-429-7564. You can also visit us on radiopulpit.co.za for your online prayer request. We will faithfully pray with you. Many people across South Africa are being blessed and encouraged by the Radio Pulpit devotional magazine, The Word for Today. This publication places the gospel of Jesus Christ in the hands of more than 100,000 people every day, inspiring every person, from the professional businessman to the needy person who lives on the streets. Each edition contains daily scripture-based devotionals and inspiring articles to help you grow spiritually. The booklet is given with the compliments of Radio Pulpit, but your donation, large or small, will help us to print the next edition and continue being the hope of the gospel to a world in desperate need. The Word for Today. Get yours today on 012-334-1200 or subscribe online at www.radiopulpit.co.za. Radio Pulpit, your daily companion.
You and 657 AM and life, a winning team on the road to eternity.